You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I am your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers. And Wes and I are super excited today. We're going to be chatting all about the Stockton Children's Museum.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, my kids all grew up going to the Children's Museum, and it just has such fond memories. One of the top 10 attractions in Stockton all the time on all of our ranking sites. It's just a fantastic place. And I know you, Amy, you went there as a little girl.
As a little girl. I know. It opened in 94, and Wes was like, you wouldn't have gone there growing up. And I was like, dude, I was only four when it opened. I definitely was going to the Children's Museum. It was like the where all the like cool kids had their birthday parties too. Like everyone who was anyone in Stockton at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8 had their birthday party at the Children's Museum. So good times.
I'm still waiting to see some of those photos you were talking about. I want to see young Amy Alpers in the birthday party room.
I know. I'm trying to think. And I remember like the party room off to the side. And my favorite thing was going in through the big eyeball. There was like a wall that we'll have to ask Marianne when she's on, but there was a big wall you could like lay against and it like did a silhouette of your body. I think that was the eye exhibit, something like that. It was cool though. I was into it. And then my ever favorite, the thing that Wes reminded me has not been at the Children's Museum my entire life, but the giant soldiers that are out front. They used to live off of Addart Road. And we had a big conversation in our office the other day about where the third soldier was. And I was like, there used to be a yellow soldier. And everyone was like, it's on the back of the building, lady. I was going to go on a whole like scavenger hunt and ask the audience what happened. Soldier. Gosh,
yeah.
I know.
Just try Google Earth. You'll find it. All right.
Yeah. Whoops. Anyways. So yeah, with that said, Marianne, the executive director of the Children's Museum, is with us today. And we're stoked to talk to her and kind of learn more about the museum and herself. So Marianne, if you don't mind starting off with just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be part of this. I've been a dear friend of Visit Stockton for many, many years. So this is very cool for us. I'm born and raised in Stockton, visited the Children's Museum actually when I was in second grade on a field trip and absolutely loved it and came back, I remember, with my siblings. I went on to go to college and I was supposed to be an accountant. I was supposed to be in an office doing taxes. That was my calling. And I didn't get that job right out of college. No one wants to hire, you know, an accountant entry level at 19 years old at a tax
office. Here, take our money.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I saw a job opening for a summer camp counselor, and that's how I started here at the museum. So I continued going to college, working part-time, got my BA in business administration with an emphasis in accounting, and yeah, just kept working here. I've been here now, this will be my 16th year working at the museum, and I am recently married to my wonderful husband, Bob, who I coincidentally met here at the Children's Museum. So you can't get much better than that.
He's like 18 now, finally.
Oh my God.
I guess, yeah. Should preface, we were grown adults.
Okay. Okay. Just checking.
That would have been even cuter though, right?
Oh my God. So cute.
That's an awesome story, Marianne. Have you, like, 16 years, have you ever done the math of how many kids have gone through the Children's Museum while you've been there? I mean, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that would be a really fun thing to do. Actually, if you factor it out, we've been looking at about 40,000 kids a year. So
holy moly.
A lot of kids.
That's like a half. Okay, not going to do the quick math here. So it's a lot more than a half a million kids since you've been there. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Children's Museum was created? What was the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, I wish I had a magical story of happiness to talk about. But, you know, our story started as a result of a tragedy. In 1989, there was a shooting at Cleveland Elementary School. 5 children were killed. Several others were injured, as well as a teacher. And, you know, our community was just ripped to shreds after that. It was a very sad time. And unfortunately, you know, these things are happening more often now, but at that time it didn't. And so one of the teachers that was wounded actually went to Washington, D.C., and she was there to talk about gun violence. And she visited a children's museum. And she said, that is what Stockton needs. Our community needs a place for families and children to come to feel safe and to be kids again and play and explore. And so she got together a group of folks and they created the Children's Museum, and we were able to open up in 1994. Interestingly enough, I still have board members to this day who were there at the inception, who are still working with us today.
Well, as someone who was, I was going to Delta, dating myself here, I was going to Delta College when that tragedy happened, and it was tough for, it was just devastating to the city, brought a lot of national attention, and of course, in this day and age we live in, unfortunately, it's not something too uncommon, but I do believe that, you know, what a legacy this museum has left in our community. So yes, built out of sadness and tragedy, but it is an awesome monument to what happened that day. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's a really touching story. And I'm sure some of that sentiment and that feel good is probably part of the reason you started working there. And you said you started working at the Children's Museum as a camp counselor?
Yes, actually, we used to do summer camps here at the museum, and it would be, you know, about eight or nine weeks. And at that time, we were run by the city of Stockton, so we were considered part of their recreation services. And I was, you know, fresh out of college looking for a job, and I came across a temporary position for just the summer. And I thought, you know what? I love kids. I love working with kids. This would be great. And I signed up for that position, didn't get hired until after the summer in September. And they hired me on as a cashier.
Well, that is very sweet. So what was the progression post camp counselor? How did you climb up the ladder to end where you're at today?
Yeah, so it was just kind of a gradual. I really enjoyed working with the customers. So I did a lot of cashiering. And then I helped out on the floor with the exhibits, and then just started progressively wanting to learn more. So I started handling some of the bills and the accounting, because go figure, accounting goes hand in hand with my degree. I got to put it to use somehow. And then I did that for about 4 years. And I also got to teach the summer camps for a few years, which was really great. And then the city actually, when bankruptcy hit, they were going to have to close down the Children's Museum because of funding. And our board of directors came in and took back over. So we became a fully functioning nonprofit 501c3 organization. And at that time, we had a new executive director join, and I started working really closely with her for about 5 years. And eventually it came time for her to move on, and I was progressively the next one in line, which was really cool. And the board took a chance on me, and I have now been director for, 7 years now, I think.
That's awesome. Well, and I don't think anyone can argue that there is anyone more qualified for the job than you, after having worked there literally from the ground up, which is very cool.
So let's dive into the museum. Why don't you kind of give us a tour in our heads, I guess, of what the museum is. So what kind of exhibits can someone find at the museum, and talk about how they're interactive and what kids do there?
So basically, we say that the museum is like a small city within a city. So when the kids come in here, we really want them to learn through play. So there's a lot of pretend play exhibits here. So you'll find a life-size fire truck, a police car, a helicopter. We also have an ambulance. So all of these life-size exhibits are for children to get in there and play. So pretend to be a doctor, pretend to be a firefighter. And it's really great for the little ones that are, you know, walking age on up to, I'd say, about 10, 11, 12 years old, kind of just depends on the child. But the meat of it, I think, is for your like 5, 6, 7 year olds, because they're thinking about what they want to be when they grow up. So as you walk through, you'll find a pet clinic, you'll see a grocery store. We have a Food for Less grocery store, and the kids can actually pretend to go grocery shopping and make the decisions on their own, which is really cool. But as times have changed, and, you know, technology is such a big thing, especially with our kids in schools, we kind of danced with the idea of, do we bring more technology into the museum? And then there's the side of it, well, they're already getting that enough at home. they already get enough of the iPads and the video games. So we want to keep everything as hands-on as possible at the museum. So we've started adding more STEM into the museum. So we have our Lego area where the kids can build little Lego cars and race them down a track. We also have a STEM land exhibit, which has got some pretty cool science and technology exhibits within it. And then our newest exhibit is Destination Space, which features astronaut Jose Hernandez and talks about his journey to space and kind of what the International Space Station is. So as we've grown, we're trying to follow where our kids are going. So it's a lot of hands-on, but also the STEM education as well.
So is there an eyeball, or am I making that up? Is that some fake memory?
There is an eyeball.
Okay.
Yes, there is an eyeball. Yes.
Dream that. Okay, good. I don't feel so crazy. Well, and that was something I wanted to ask you about, was like the evolution of the space, because I remember when I went there, and I know this was like my dad's favorite part of the museum, but there was a Tilly Lewis cannery line, I believe,
yes.
Unless that was another fever dream from my youth. I'm pretty sure it was in there. I remember there was a McDonald's back in the day, which I was like super stoked on. So what are some of the original things that are like still around the Children's Museum?
Yeah, so the fire truck is probably the OG. He's been hanging on for a while. But it's interesting, McDonald's was here when I first started working here, and mm-hmm. I thought it was so cool. And then one day I came and it was gone. And we realized that we were kind of not sending the healthiest message to our kids. So that had been removed. It's now the magnet exhibit, but we still have the little pretend deli area for the kids so they could still pretend to make food. But yes, the cannery was, I remember that as a kid, and that was, I can't remember when that was removed. It was before I started working here. But oddly enough, we have had some conversations with folks to bring that back. So that might actually be a new exhibit for us. And I think our biggest challenge is space, is where.
Yeah,
that's
no
the biggest
doubt.
Challenge.
No doubt. Well, thank you for sharing that. It's cool just to hear about, you know, because everything progresses in life. Love to hear that all the technology, iPads and stuff, are being left out for, you know, mm-hmm. that's already being consumed at home. So there's still like all that hands-on play at the museum. But it's always interesting to hear about, yeah, the progression of how things have changed over the years. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of alluded to it in a response earlier, and I think it's one of the most common questions that we get about the appropriate age for the Children's Museum. And I know that you mentioned walking age, and of course that is, mm-hmm. you know, there's a range there. And you mentioned like higher, like even 10, 11, 12, but it's funny because I think it depends on, like for us, it was all about the difference in the siblings' age. So the older boy in our household would go because our younger kid was there. But you know, it's funny because it may be like, if there's no other kids around, it's okay to be not cool and play in a children's museum, right? And so I feel like it's the ages can be a wide range. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, because we've been trying to capture the older kids, like you said, the you know, pre-teenage children that are coming in here because they have to, because their, you know, 5-year-old brother is here. And so that's why with, like, for example, the space exhibit, we're trying to reach those older kids. The Lego exhibit's really cool. If our water table's really interactive. So those are some areas where the older kids can get involved. But I have an 11-year-old nephew who, you know, he's not too cool yet. he's still a kid and playing, but we did a field trip with his peers last year and they were fourth graders. And I thought, oh gosh, this isn't going to go good. They're a bunch of too cool 10-year-olds. Oh no, those kids were bouncing around like the 5-year-olds. So I think it really does depend on the child and also your response to it too, as the adult.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned two things that popped into my head. The first is field trips. You guys just like, when you talk about 40,000 visitors a year, like I see buses from all over Northern California coming to the museum. And I think that's mm-hmm. phenomenal. And I just love to see that people are coming to our city from all over the state to visit our museum. But the other one, what you mentioned about ages, and I just think it's a cool thing that people know, is that you have to, in order to go to the museum, you have to have a child with you. So I think it also just makes everybody feel safer, right? I mean, you know, there's nobody, no yes. adults just hanging out there.
Right. And you know, we do kind of get the shocked look when we turn our grownups away, because they're looking at us like, but I came here as a child, or I, you know, and it's like, no, we completely understand. So we'll do things like maybe make an appointment or take an ID or something like that, just to secure everybody a little bit.
Okay. So adults not allowed in by themselves. Fair. I dig it. But I do know there are some special events that happen at the Children's Museum, correct? So what kind of cool things outside of the kids exhibits do you guys host?
Yeah, so we actually just started this when we reopened last year. We started doing something called Super Saturdays. And it's the second Saturday of every month we hold an event here for families. So this weekend we actually have Orlando Molina. He is the author of Rhymasaurs. So he's coming out with his hip hop beats and DJs and all kinds of fun stuff. But it's all about literacy with kids. And so we try to do that every month. We have something. So last month we had Jose Hernandez here, our local astronaut. Prior to that, we had Rhythm Works. So they brought their drums out. So it's a lot of different things, musicians and things like that for the families that we just want to give them an opportunity to experience something new. But for the grownups, I do have something for the grownups coming up. We are having our Fall Fiesta fundraiser on September 23rd. And that one is a no kids. That's an adult only event. And we're going to have some really good Mexican food, mariachi bands. We're going to have margaritas. So we try to appease to everyone.
Well, and if I remember correctly, Marianne, the last time we visited the museum as a team, you said that adults were having their birthday parties at the museum. And so you can rent the museum to do your adult birthday party.
Yes, you can. I actually just hosted my dad and stepmom's 75th birthday party here, which was really cool. It was really fun. And we've done that a few times. We've had 70th birthdays here, you know, just adult events. And it's really cool because you just get to be a kid and there, you know, you let your hair down and we have DJs and dancing. You can have a bar here. I mean, it's really cool. It's actually a pretty fun venue to have a party like that.
So we can finally drink and go to Food for Less at the same time.
Yes.
In a play atmosphere. What a dream. And I just wanted to clarify too, by the time everyone's hearing this, Marianne's awesome fundraiser will have already passed, but I'm assuming, Marianne, is this an annual event that you host in the fall?
Yeah, we've actually changed it up a little bit. So we always would have a fundraiser in the fall, a luncheon, but we wanted to change it up a little bit. So this one will be more of a fun kind of relaxed vibe. So we just actually did one in March and that was cocktails and karaoke. That was fun.
that sounds really cool. Now you get to sing and drink at the Food for Less. What a dream. So where can people find information about special events being hosted at the museum?
Yes. So I would say the number one location would be our website, which is childrensmuseumstockton.org, as well as our Facebook page and Instagram. You can always find it there. And you can also subscribe for our email list as well, get monthly newsletters and things like that.
Excellent.
And you're a nonprofit. You mentioned that and you don't get any city funding. I know you might get a deal on rent, but you're not subsidized by the government. So if someone wants to support the Children's Museum, and they can't attend an event, are there other ways to support the museum?
Absolutely. So, you know, a dollar goes a long way. So of course, any type of monetary donation just is so helpful to us, but also your time. We do need a lot of volunteers. I have a very small staff here, a very dedicated people, but we could use some extra hands. So from the adults to teenagers that might need volunteer hours for school or through, you know, even Delta and UOP, we get a lot of UOP students that come and volunteer here. And just your time. It's a really fun way to volunteer your time. You can work in, you know, running the art studio or working in the gift shop. So we could always use time is a big one for us.
Awesome. That's a great example. I think volunteering, we sometimes forget that when we're fundraising and nonprofits, that with a museum like yours, giving your time means a lot.
Absolutely.
So there's one thing that we ask all of our guests, Marianne, so we're going to put you on the spot, right? So you have visitors, they're visiting you here in Stockton, they're from out of town. What is the one place you like to take someone that's visiting you here in Stockton?
So this one's kind of a seasonal one, but my family and I, we enjoy going to Stockton Ports games. They're just so much fun and it's inexpensive and it's, you know, a fun time for the family. We've gone with, you know, parents, we've gone with kids. I mean, it's just a really fun place to take your family. So I know we just had our last game recently, but I'll have to, you know, my other favorite would have been the Heat games, but darn it.
Now you just got to become a Stockton Kings fan and then you can fill in the gap. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, Marianne, thank you very much. This was super cool. Everyone be sure to check out Marianne's Facebook and their website so you can find out all the information about the Stockton Children's Museum. And with that, we are going to head over to our friend Anthony for our Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. I'm here to tell you the tale of a Stockton resident born of immigrants who would grow to sail outside our atmosphere, literally. Jose Hernandez was born in a French camp, but would grow to call Stockton his home. An immigrant son, Jose would spend half of the year in the U.S. and half in La Piedad, Mexico. As a young child, he would work alongside his parents and other immigrant farm workers throughout the fields of California. Unable to speak English until he reached the age of 12, Jose's first memory of space was adjusting the family television as they prepared to watch the Apollo 17 mission in 1972. Unbeknownst to him at the time, that moment was a sign of what his future would hold. Jose participated in the Upward Bound College Preparatory Program in school and graduated from Franklin High School. In college, he was in the Mathematics Engineering Science Achievement Program, or known as MESA, designed to support educationally disadvantaged students in attaining four-year degrees in STEM fields. Jose would eventually earn a degree in electrical engineering from UOP in 1984, followed by a master's in electrical and computer engineering from UC Santa Barbara. In 2001, Jose joined the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, and after 3 years, was selected for the NASA Astronaut Training Program. After years of training, which included flight training, water and wilderness survival, shuttle launch and landing preparations, and spending days in an underwater laboratory, Jose was finally selected as a mission specialist on the STS-128 mission, a 14-day journey in orbit studying the physics and chemistry of microgravity. During this mission, Jose became the first person to use the Spanish language in space, which he did while tweeting. After sailing among the stars, Jose ran for Congress, became an advocate for immigration reform, and joined the board of directors for Space United, a nonprofit humanitarian space agency. He now owns a 20-acre vineyard near Lodi, and in 2021 began bottling wine under the name Tierra Luna Cellars, which is Spanish for Earth Moon Cellars. From the son of immigrant workers to a navigator through space, Jose has remained true to the hometown that helped him carve his path. Jose Hernandez is one incredible example of what it means to be Stockton true. And, real quick fun fact, Jose's life will be hitting the big screen as pre-production is currently being done on a biopic film on Jose, with Academy Award nominee Michael Peña slated to portray Jose in the film.
Anthony, that you're the best. Cool. That was a great freaking story. I don't know.
He's out of this world.
Good one, Wes.
There it is.
I didn't know anything about Jose's story, but we all, as a staff, went to the Children's Museum when I first started last year, and we got to see the new exhibit, which obviously revolves around his story. And not only is that exhibit, like, amazing, it's, like, they're great stories, great imagery and all of that, but just, it's one of those, like, hometown pride things now, you know? Like, we have this really cool, special story of someone from here who is still investing in this community and taking pride in it, and I am just very excited that we got to share that on this podcast.
And it's great to see that his story is going to be on the big screen, played by such a great actor, and again, Hollywood. Stockton was, you know, Hollywood North, so you can come on back and, you know, film that here if you'd like. Just saying.
Maybe you should give a shameless plug for your blog, Anthony.
Oh, maybe I should. You mean the Stockton Theaters?
Stockton Theaters, filmed in Stockton blog is what
filmed
I was
in Stockton as well. There's lots of stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. And
if you can't tell, Anthony hates the movies, so.
Hate them.
No, exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you, Anthony. Very cool.
Welcome.
And with that, it's our favorite time of the recording, our events segment. We have all sorts of things happening in Stockton all the time. And this is Anthony's favorite season that we're launching right now. It is the spooky season. And typically we're talking about Stockton events, but how can you live as close to the Del Oso Family Farms and not talk about it? So we're pleased to announce that the corn maze at Del Oso Family Farms is open again. It'll be open until the end of the month. There's all sorts of things that happen there. I mean, I remember when I was going in high school and stuff, right? It was corn maze and the train rides, but you can, there's a goat walk, which I don't know what that means, but I'll check it out. There's duck races, mini golf, an obstacle course. And then for the low, low price of $8, you can add on a pumpkin blaster experience.
Those are fun.
So a carousel, pony ride. So there's a little bit of everything out there. And that's just down the road off the I-5 in Lathrop. So totally worth going out there sometime during the season to check things out.
No, that's an amazing facility down there at Deloso Farm. So if you haven't been, go check that out and get lost in that corn maze.
And then, I know we've talked about this before, but why not talk about it one more time before it happens? But on October 14th, Visit Stockton, us, is hosting our inaugural golf tourney called the Sports City Golf Tourney. And it's going to be a full day of silly games and golf and booze and food and prizes and good times. And if that wasn't enough to sell you on the event, I don't know. You must be no fun at all. So
it's like a Friday around here at the office. I mean,
exactly. Gosh. Yeah. And it's a Friday. And like I said on the last one, if you need your office to buy tickets, tell me, I'll call your boss and I'll get him to buy tickets for you and your three of your, fellow, co-workers. So it's gonna be very fun, and it's all to support a good cause, the Stockton Sports Foundation, which is our nonprofit arm that supports bringing youth, amateur, collegiate, etc. sports into Stockton, to, you know, help boost the hotel revenues and just the economic development for our city.
Yeah, and that actually kicks off an entire weekend of celebrations at the University of Pacific, also because it's homecoming weekend at the University of Pacific. And actually, that same night as our golf tournament is the Black and Orange Ball, but they have a ton of events that are all open to the public. Taste of Pacific, there's a concert, there'll be craft beer tasting, there's a woman's volleyball match and a men's water polo match. So if you want to go out and support our hometown university and support some Tiger Pride, homecoming friends and family weekend is at the University of Pacific, the 14th through the 16th, Friday through Sunday. So go out there and support the Tigers and remind them that we love the fact that we have a hometown university, the oldest privately chartered university in the state of California that has been here almost 100 years. So we're excited about that.
You know, it's funny and topical with pop culture history in Stockton with that weekend. That's happening the day that Halloween Ends is released, which stars UOP alumni Jamie Lee Curtis. There it is. That's how you do that.
Mom was also a Pacific alumni, Janet Lee.
Bingo.
Look at all that. Tying it up in a bow.
Wow. We don't even need to do a send-off for this episode. It's done. It's completed. Just kidding. I'm doing it anyway. So if you want to learn more about all the events happening in Stockton, you can visit the city's largest events calendar at visitstockton.org. And once you're there, you can sign up to get our weekly Wednesday events newsletter sent directly to your inbox.
And we want to thank Marianne again for being such a great guest and talking about all the amazing things at the Children's Museum of Stockton. We love that place, and we really appreciate you being with us today.
For supporting Images and Insights, make sure you follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.